reason to prevent you from going. Wilmot turned and motioned Urbain to come up to the podium. Dr. Urbain, what is your position on this? Slicking his hair back with one hand, Urbain said without hesitation, the threat of contamination to the microbial organisms of Titan is much too serious to allow any human exploration of that world for the foreseeable future. Besides, we have no choice in the matter. The IAA forbids any human intervention on Titan's surface. Gaeta called from the first row, but Dr. Cardenas has shown you that she can clean my suit. Wilmot said to the audience, Mr. Gaeta is referring to the work of Dr. Kristin Cardenas, who has developed nanomachines that may be capable of decontaminating Mr. Gaeta's spacesuit. The decontamination appears to be acceptable, Urbain conceded, looking a little flustered, but appearances can be deceiving. Besides, we should not take the risk of having nanomachines infect Titan's ecology. Eberly nudged Urbain away from the podium and looked out at the sea of faces watching them. This is a good example of why we can't allow the scientists to have control of the government. Why shouldn't this man be allowed to carry out his adventure if it's been proven that he won't hurt the bugs down there? It has not been proven. Dr. Cardenas says that it has been, Eberly countered. Not to my satisfaction, snapped Urbain. Your satisfaction, Eberly shouted. In other words, you make the decision and everyone else has to obey you, even a Nobel Prize winner like Dr. Cardenas. It is my decision to make, Urbain insisted. I thought you said the International Astronautical Association made the decision. Yes, of course, that is true, Urbain stammered. But if necessary, I could override their decision. After all, I am the director of all scientific efforts here. You want to be a dictator, Eberly exclaimed, pretending shock. Wilmot jumped between them. Wait a moment. There is another issue here. What about the dangers of nanotechnology? Nanotechnology is a tool, Urbain said. A tool that must be used carefully, but nothing more than a tool nonetheless. Eberly was surprised at that. All he could add was, yes, I agree. Timoshenko rose from his chair. Wait, there are dangers with nanotechnology. The bugs can get out of control. Bullshit! Came a screaming voice from the audience. Kris Cardenas shot to her feet, her face white with anger. Show me one instance where nanomachines have gotten out of control. They've been using nanobugs at Selene and the other lunar communities for decades now, and there's been no trouble at all. Not one incident! Timoshenko scowled at her. Nanobugs killed several people back when it was still called Moonbase. That was deliberate murder. You might as well outlaw hammers because they've been used to smash people's skulls. Wilmot spread his hands to calm things down. No one is thinking of outlawing nanotechnology, he said flatly. We recognize Dr. Cardenas as the solar system's acknowledged expert on the subject, and we have agreed to use nanomachines, but under the strictest safety procedures. Before either of the other candidates could say anything, Eberly stepped in. Nanotechnology can be very helpful to us, and I have every confidence in Dr. Cardenas's ability to develop nanomachines safely. I too, said Urbain. They all turned to Timoshenko. He grimaced, then said, with all respect to the admired Dr. Cardenas, I believe nanomachines can be very dangerous in a closed environment such as ours. They should be banned. Eberly seized the moment. Most of us are here in this habitat, he said, because of laws and regulations that stifled our lives. Most of us are educated, knowledgeable, unafraid of new ideas and their capabilities. We have all suffered under governments that restricted our freedoms. He saw several heads nodding agreement. All right, then, he asked the audience. How many of you are in favor of banning nanotechnology altogether? The people hesitated, glanced at each other. A few hands went up, very few. Down on the floor, Kris Cardenas looked around, smiled. and sat down. Eberle nodded, satisfied. Turning to Timoshenko, he said, "There you are. Vox populi, vox dei."
Saturn arrival minus 20 days. Holly saw that it would be senseless to try to talk with Malcolm after the debate ended. He was immediately surrounded by admirers, including Morgenthau and that dark little man, Vyborg. Chris Cardenas pushed her way through the departing throng, a bright grin on her face. "I think we might get you down to Titan after all," she said to Gaeta. He grinned back at her. "Maybe, if Eberle wins the election." Holly suddenly felt like a third wheel on a bicycle, standing between Chris and Manny. The crowd was thinning out, little knots of three or four people heading for home or one of the restaurants. Eberle came down from the stage, enveloped in well-wishers and sycophants. As he walked past Holly, he nodded to her and smiled, but he did not invite her to join his group. Before she could feel any reaction, Gaeta said, "Come on, Holly, we'll walk you home." Surprised, Holly glanced at Cardenas. She arched one brow, as if to remind Holly of what they had learned about the stuntman's activities. Holly nodded back, and the three of them started across the grass and up the lakeside path toward the village of Athens. "I didn't see Nadia here," Cardenas said as they climbed toward the apartment buildings. "She's probably working," Gaeta said. "Urbain's given her some time on a telescope. She's always up in the observatory now." "I thought she'd come with you," said Holly. "He actually looked surprised. With me?" Holly let it pass. They reached Cardenas' building and said goodnight. Then Gaeta walked with Holly to the next building, where her apartment was. "You've been seeing Nadia a lot, haven't you?" she asked. Gaeta nodded. "If this Titan gig falls through, I've got to do something to keep my investors happy. She's helping me plan a jump through the rings." "Sure." The dawn finally shed its light on Gaeta's face. "Oh," he said. "She told you, didn't she?"
"It came up in conversation, yes," said Holly.
They were at the door to her apartment building. As Gaeta stopped there, the habitat's lighting flicked from its evening mode to the nighttime system. His face fell into shadow, but Holly could see him well enough.
"Okay," he admitted. "It happened."
"More than once."
He grinned sheepishly. "Christ, you sound like a priest at confession. How many times?"
"It's not funny, Manny. You didn't take our times together seriously, did you?" She thought for a moment, then half lied. "No, not all that seriously, I guess.
I mean, I know I was supposed to look out for you, but, well, it just sort of happened.
It happens a lot with you."
"You seem to enjoy it at the time," he said softly.
Holly suddenly realized what he had just said.
"What do you mean, you were supposed to look out for me?"
He took a deep breath.
"That's why I'm here, Holly. Your sister wanted me to keep an eye on you."
She felt her jaw drop open. "Pancho? Pancho hired you?" Shuffling from one foot to another like a little boy caught in a place where he shouldn't have been, Gaeta said,
"It's not that simple, Holly. She didn't exactly hire me."
"She thought I needed a bodyguard," Holly groused. "My big sister didn't trust me out here on my own."
"I was trying to raise the funding for the Titan gig," he tried to explain, "and this guy from Astro Corporation came up with an offer."
Suddenly, the absurdity of it hit Holly like a bucket full of ice-cold water. She broke into laughter. Perplexed, Gaeta asked, "What's so funny?"
"You are. And my big sister. She hired you to protect me, and you popped me in a bed. My faithful watchdog. When she finds out, she'll want to castrate you."
"She wanted me to keep you away from Eberle, and that's what I did." Holly's laughter choked off like a light switch being thrown.
"Punch hired you to keep me away from Malcolm?"
He nodded sheepishly.
"And that's why you took me to bed?"
"No, I didn't plan that.
It just sort of happened, I know."
"I didn't hurt you."
"The hell you didn't," Holly snapped. And then you go off and screw Chris and then I...